Today's scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 10, verse 11 through 14. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?
Good morning, church. Thank you, Grayson. Thank you, Jason, for the songs that you've led us in. We are blessed, aren't we? Brother Paul is in Nicaragua attending the Pan American Lectures, but you are blessed this morning because we have a guest speaker that is great man. I want to extend my congratulations to you and the thanks from our eldership for the contribution that you gave last Sunday that has resulted in us having the largest mission budget we've ever had. God bless you and God bless the way those funds are used to preach God's word to the lost. I've known Brother John Reese for seems like all my life. I remember when he was a young man, had hair. He was raised, if you ever listen to his voice, he does sounds like he's a foreigner, you know, kind of. But it's not a British accent. It's an African accent. He was raised in Africa, and when I knew him, he was preaching in a place called Kempton Park near Johannesburg, doing a great job with the congregation there. He's a missionary. He came back to the States and has worked with World Bible School. He is the director of World Bible School, which is a blessing to us and a blessing to many people involved in World Bible School. I want you to listen very carefully to what Brother John has to say to us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate so much the opportunity to be with you today. And as I did in the class period, I want to thank you for the wonderful work that goes on from this congregation, especially the World Bible School teaching done by the team with Harold and Ann Smith. And for those of you who were in the class, we were talking about who could be a resource on internet teaching. And Brad Fluitt mentioned to me that that he is an internet teacher. And so those of you who wish to know more about how that works, please feel free to get in touch with Brad. Just trying to get my computer open here for a couple of quotes that I'll get from it. Okay, we'll see if that works. You can call this lesson this morning the story of two tales. And the story that we sing about when we say, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. There's another story being told, and that is the story below. And that story is epitomized by a number of very violent acts lately, including the one in Las Vegas most recently, and before it in June, and the one that's pictured there, where some congressmen were shot, and many, many more of our legislators would have been lying dead on that baseball field if it had not been for intervention in time. The devil is trying to tell us a story, and the Bible talks about that story, that evil people will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you listen to the daily news, one of the words you'll hear over and over again is the word lie, deceive, deception. What Satan is doing is stirring the United States like a witch's cauldron. Satan would love to remake this nation into his own grotesque image. He's working very hard at that. But what we're focusing on is the story above. This is the story of Jesus and his love. This is the story of love, not hate. The story of light, not darkness. The story of truth, not lies. The story of mercy, not guilt. The story of life, not death. The story above has several parts to it, and the first I want to talk about is the task. The task that is given to us to tell that story. We call it the Great Commission. The Great Commission, as I mentioned in class, comes at the very pinnacle of Jesus' life. After he has lived the perfect life, died the perfect death to take away every sin ever committed, and he has been raised never to die again. We get then to the end of that life, that 40-day period where he has returned from the dead and is with his disciples. What does he emphasize? How will he conclude? Among so many good things that are available, and many of them are mentioned in Matthew 25, visiting the sick, helping those who are naked. What good will he choose as the most basic good? Where will he focus his authority? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Where will he focus it? How will he state his mission statement for the entire body of Christ to come all the way to the end of the age? Well, here you have it. And you can see the dominant theme in that 40 days, that brief window before he returns to the Father, that the Great Commission is what dominates his thinking and his speaking. Make disciples of all nations. Mark, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to all creation. Luke speaks in prophetic terms. This was prophesied that it was started in Jerusalem, going out to all nations. John has the simplest of the commissions. As the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. The mission on which Jesus is sent flows through him onto us who are his disciples. In Acts, it begins the account by saying, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the very ends of the earth. This was what Jesus chose to emphasize in the Great Commission. Notice especially the target that he gives to us. The task is to take this message. And the target is, and by the way, on that message, we need to pause there for just a moment before we go into the target. And that is, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, which literally would be the good news. That's been modified a little bit lately, because it's kind of difficult to convince people of the good news. The good news is good news, but you know what? It starts with bad news, which is we're sinners. We need to repent. Well, many people are quite offended by that message. You remember how in 1 Corinthians it says that the gospel is foolishness to this world. And they don't necessarily like it. And so we have tended to modify it. And instead of taking the message that saves, that God has chosen as his vehicle for salvation, we decide to emphasize other things. So we say, go into all the world and be friends to people. Go into all the world and serve people. Go into all the world and do good. Well, certainly, as a Christian, you will do all of those things. And that's what Matthew 25 has already emphasized. But that's not the way Jesus chose to word it. He chose to word it, go into all the world and make disciples. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. This is his choice of words, and there's a reason for that. You see, if I do good for a person, they're going to, certainly most of them are going to appreciate me. And they may very well respond to me, but that is not the same as responding to Jesus and receiving his salvation through his gospel. He's done the work of salvation. He is finished. what it takes to save man. All that is required now is for us to tell people so that they can believe. You heard the reading this morning, did you not? All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, and the Bible describes how that is, what that calling is. But how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe unless they hear? It's impossible for people to be saved by the gospel unless they hear it, because they cannot respond otherwise. That's why it's essential. I may give a person bread to eat, and I certainly will as a Christian, but that will feed him for today, and he may even then starve eternally because I never shared what Jesus said to share, and that is this message, this gospel. So let's look again at the target. To whom is this gospel to go? Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, and the King James and New King James say to every creature. And I believe that's actually the point, because Jesus died, it's true, for the whole world, but who is that? Of whom is that it composed? Well, it's composed of each and every individual, and He's sending us to make sure every individual receives that gospel. Now, I don't know about you, but I personally cannot be in contact with 7 billion plus people. There's just too many individuals or creatures in the world these days. So what is God expecting of me, and what is God expecting of you, and what is God expecting of this congregation? Well, obviously, it is those within your reach, those whom God has placed in your sphere of influence. Think about it in terms of Coca-Cola. They want to advertise around the world, right? But it's not like one person tries to do all that. They have regions. They have regional managers. Well, suppose a message comes down from head office that says, we want to make sure that an attractive ad for Coke is viewable for virtually every person in your region, this manager's region of responsibility. Within your region, we want every person to see an attractive ad for Coke virtually every day. Now, what would you do if you were a Coke manager with that order from headquarters? There's basically three things you can do. One is you can ignore it, in which case you're no longer with Coke. The second is you can pretend that it's such a tall order, you know, that you kind of pay lip service to it and pretend you're carrying it out, in which case you won't work for Coke. The third is go about doing it. And isn't that exactly what Coca-Cola's done? Those of you who have traveled in various parts of the world, was there any place that you did not see Coke advertised? I doubt it. I know I've been in close on 50 countries. You know, Tex Williams, who I worked with for 20 years, said he had been in 120 countries. And I'll nearly guarantee you not one of those didn't have attractive ads for Coke viewable almost every day. They apply about $3 billion of budget every year to putting those advertisements out there. If they can do it for sugar water, can we do it for God? For His honor? For the death of His Son to be effective for people who have not yet had the opportunity to respond to it? Yes, we certainly can. If they can do it by human power, can we not do it by divine power? Absolutely. And we have had that order from our headquarters saying to us, every creature must receive the opportunity at least for this good news, and we can certainly do that for everyone within our reach. Every person within reach is to receive gospel opportunities from us. And that's part of your budget process, part of what you're doing with that budget. And the reason you are so generous with the missions giving is because you're taking this very seriously. You're prioritizing what Jesus prioritized, and that is the sharing of the good news with many people. Let me give you an example of saturation where many, many individuals have had the opportunity here. Zimbabwe is the country, as was mentioned by Milton, where I was born and where I was raised. My first visit to the United States was when I was 18. First time I moved permanently to the United States was in 1991. And that was at the invitation of Tex Williams to help him develop World Bible School in Austin, in the Austin area. And we've been doing work in World Bible School there for a good number of years. The total number of students now, let me see if I have that. This is from 2007, when we had the last major drive begin. Just under 2 million people. This is year by year how many have been enrolled. And so since that time, it's been close on 2 million, actually more than 2 million, because those are the ones recorded just by our office in Cedar Park near Austin in Texas. Whereas many, many other students enroll through congregations. And so the ones who have enrolled through Southgate are not recorded in that figure there. The ones who enrolled through other congregational programs are not recorded there. So the 2 million students in that country are actually very, very conservative. This is where I was hoping that I could get my computer up because I wanted to quote from Rusari. Let's see if I can get it open this time. There we go. Okay, so when I give you a figure like that, I want you to understand it's not dry statistics. That these are about individuals, people that God cares about. Incidentally, when you teach that many people, when you have 2 million or closer probably to 3 or 4 million students in one country, that is so much gospel seed and there's so much follow-up to be done that in the last year and a half, we've baptized about 5,000 people in Zimbabwe alone. You all have a fantastic prison work in the prisons there, and I know you've got prison students in Zimbabwe as well. In the prisons there, 1,822 of those 5,000 have been baptized in prisons, World Bible School students. One of the people who has been baptized recently was Rusari, and Rusari came to our follow-up seminar that we conducted in the country of Zimbabwe, in the capital city, Harare. And my wife is not here today because she's the full-time care for her aging mother. My wife was at the registration table, and Rusari said, "I need to give a speech to everybody here." Well, we had no idea what he was going to say. And in that political climate, you don't want just anything said. And so we'd sort of tried to put him off, but when the time came for the invitation, he came forward and he whipped out his speech, and let me read to you what he said. "I am one of the individuals who got changed through the World Bible School courses. Due to crucial and unpleasant situations which I'm still experiencing, I grew up in severe depression which caused my childhood to be the most devastating one. I had to run away from home, and I also tried to commit suicide at least 4 times. But with God's grace, I'm still alive, although living with an abusive and alcoholic parent. I am succeeding in this change because World Bible School helped me in understanding the day-to-day scriptures of the Bible in order for my life to be fruitful and strong. World Bible School helped me to implement goals as a Christian in changing my life. Though this is a sinful and unpleasant world, I am planning on teaching and changing other people's lives for their lives to be brighter." What had been happening in Rusari's life is that he'd been suffering from the story below, the story that Satan tries to write. And he was searching for a better story. And because of the kind of contributions that you all have given, we were able to be out there for him to find. And so he was connected with a teacher in Alabama. And let me see if I've got her name. Rebecca Shue in Gardendale, Alabama, became his teacher. And she brought him to the Lord. That day he was baptized, and he truly had the power then for that life change to occur. That's just one of thousands and thousands of stories like yours that are told. And the beauty of us being able to reach clear around the world and in our own community is the tools that God has given to us. The one that I wanted to mention to you particularly, how many of you use the internet? How many of you could get, if you signed in, how many of you could get on the internet right now? Almost the same number. Okay, so God has given, do you think that was given for Bill Gates or Michael Dell to get rich on? Well, I'm happy for them to get rich, no problem there, but I don't believe at all that's why God allowed the internet to be given. I believe it's because his priority is the sharing of his message, words to be passed along from his scriptures. And so the United States turns out to be the most receptive country in the world to our advertising around the world. We've been doing this ever since the internet was made available to the public in 95, and always the United States has been the leader. Last 12 months, 39,000 there. The next leading country, Nigeria. The next leading country, South Africa. And almost in my mind, symbolically, the first person ever converted through World Bible School contact, internet contact, was an American. The irony of it is that when the preacher had, that we asked for follow-up, and the preacher went and followed up and baptized her, and then on Sunday they introduced her to the congregation, and a good many of the members knew her as the lady who worked behind the bakery counter at the local Walmart. They knew her because of that frequent contact. What they didn't know was that she was a seeker, that she had questions, and she didn't know they were the people with the answers. Well, what World Bible School did was to connect the seeker with the teacher, the ones who want to learn with those who want to teach, which is you and me. And so we were able to do that. In fact, it's the Lord who is behind these opportunities, very much as Paul experienced in Corinth. Paul became quite discouraged in Corinth, and God said to him, do not be silent, but keep speaking, because I have many in this city who are my people. Paul couldn't see them. He did not know who was receptive out there and who would respond if given the opportunity. But God could. God could see them, and he said, don't quit, because there are many people in our community who will respond if they have that opportunity. And how did Paul give them that opportunity? He went on showing the word, preaching the word, putting it out there, because it is what will attract people to God. That's where the power is. And of course, it doesn't have to be just World Bible School. Many of you know Bob Davidson of A&M and Thailand Missions. Bob was in New York one day distributing tracts, and a drunk man bumped into him. The man was too drunk for a conversation, but what Bob did was he put the tract into the man's pocket. Well, lo and behold, a few days later, the man turns up at church, sober, and they have further Bible studies with him, and he becomes one of the most influential people in his part of North Carolina later, with his son as a missionary now in Nepal in India. So it doesn't matter which way you do it. However, God has given us some incredible tools, such as Connect. Connect is where you advertise for your area. World Bible School sets you up with your URL, and the results of your advertising come back to your teachers here. And again, if you want to know more about that, get in touch with Brad Fluitt. He has been doing internet and email teaching. And so this is a way for us to target our communities with this message. I shared this already with the class, so I won't spend a long time on it. But after 18 months of applying Connect very diligently, they had 53 Connect teachers, 176 students from their advertising, as a result of their advertising, signed up in that particular month. They gave that report. 86 had remained active, and they had 51 known baptisms in that 18 months. There's the update in the blue there. We'd like to see congregation after congregation doing this all over. And one reason they had a good number of baptisms was because, like you, they got into the prisons where people are more aware of their need and are more willing to listen. If you look at Ashley's face there, there's the before and the after. She still has handcuffs on. But look at her face. That tells the whole story. These are the individuals that Jesus sent us to share the gospel with. And the beauty of what's happening there, and I think probably what's happening here too, is that those who are brought to the Lord through WBS are then teaching their friends. And so you have Jonathan, who was converted through World Bible School, who taught his cellmate Lewis and assisted in baptizing his cellmate right there in prison. Recently, this year, actually published the new World Bible School Bible with Study Notes. It's the ESV version. And in June, we got this message from a prison ministry. This morning, we baptized 26 men. Many of them taught themselves with the World Bible School Study Bibles that we've been handing out. They had handed out 200, 250. So 26 baptisms. Some of those were as a result of previous World Bible School teaching as well. The Lord has given us unprecedented tools for our age to be able to reach out locally and to be able to reach out globally, because He sent us to all nations. Incidentally, many of those nations are coming to us now, aren't they? I forget the exact figure. It's quite remarkable, the number of people who are migrants one way or another in the world today, like one out of every 26 people. Just quite remarkable. Who is the team that carries out this great task with the tools that God provides? Jesus said, "Make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you." What was the most, when He said that, what was the most recent command He had given them? Make disciples. So if they are to teach all that Christ had commanded, the most recent one is make disciples. That means every disciple made becomes a disciple maker. It's built in to the very nature of the Great Commission. Whatever our roles, whatever our abilities, we are part of that team. And that's why World Bible School has constructed these tools to be used by average, everyday members just like you and me. Whether it's postal with the Smiths, or whether it's internet, and I would love to see you develop an internet team. One example of this is Barbara Bagwell at the Pikes Peak. She's an assistant coordinator. She, at age 5, I believe it was, contracted encephalitis, which left her with no use in her hands or arms. And so when she types on the computer, she uses her feet for the mouse and she uses a stick in her teeth to do the typing. And they process about 4, it's a very similar program to here, probably about 400 students a month there. You may do more here, actually. But if Barbara can do it with her disabilities, any one of us can do it. Ernest Bullard is an example from where I live in Austin, Texas. He was a very angry young man on the streets of Houston, grew up that way, and committed a number of violent crimes. When he reached his lowest point, he decided the only way to look was up. So he took World Bible School lessons, was converted to Christ, so converted that when I met him, I didn't know any of that background. All I saw was a very loving, caring man. He didn't know it, but from the time that he was baptized to the time that he died of natural causes, he had only 10 years to live. But during those 10 years, he taught 18,000 students and had 169 baptism requests as a result of his teaching. The Lord can use Ernest. He can certainly use me. Any one of us can be using these kinds of tools and be involved. And so don't discount postal at all. The main thing that I want to carry into our minds this morning is the fact that we can succeed because of our team leader. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, said, "All authority is being given to me, therefore go." He's showing the reason that he has the right to send them, but he's also showing his sovereignty and the way this will succeed. I am with you always to the very end of the age. He is the main team partner. We have the privilege of being co-workers with him. Think about Acts chapter 8. Which committee sat down and organized that Philip would join up with a man from Africa? No one could foresee that. We know it was organized by Jesus himself, because his spirit spoke to Philip to go join that man at the chariot. And the spirit then took him away. From end to end, it was the operation of the Holy Spirit helping that seeker to connect with that Christian. And God is just as powerful today. He may not work miraculously, may not speak in my ear in a direct way, but just as well, He connects those who are seeking with those who are wanting to teach. And today, you can go online at worldbibleschool.net and become a teacher. And you'll go, when you're given your login information, you go to worldbibleschool.org, and you'll see those people who, among them is going to be an Ethiopian eunuch who is sincerely seeking. Now, you have to be very patient with this process, because a number of them will fall out, will drop out as the process goes along. Stick with it. Keep accepting new students so that you find that one who is a genuine seeker and go through with him. I'll tell you 3 quick stories and then we'll wrap this up. Greg Wells is a Christian, a New Testament Christian in Tasmania. Where is Tasmania? Down under, down under. But because of the internet, he can teach anywhere in the world. So he went online to the student board and found a man who had wanted to study, who is in Somalia, Mogadishu, Somalia, about one of the worst places in the world. They studied for 5 years together, and that Muslim became a Christian. He had to take his children out of school because in school they were being taught hatred and killing, jihad. So he took his kids out of school. The militia then were alerted to his change of life. They came after him trying to kill him. They killed one of his converts. He managed to escape. And today, to the best of my knowledge, he's still spreading the good news himself. Anybody anywhere in the world who's a New Testament Christian who has internet access can find people who are asking to study. Some of them are waiting online too long. Gail Scott works in my office, and she's our accountant lady, and she has taught tens of thousands of people by mail. But one night she couldn't get any sleep, so she went online just to see how long the people had been waiting there for their for somebody to adopt them as a student. And this man, Adera Mulugeta, in Ethiopia, he'd been waiting for 4 days. And she knew on the internet that's way too long. So she adopted him, started teaching him. Well, he had plenty of time on his hands. He had recently been fired from his job because he objected to the corruption in his country. And so he had a lot of time. So he studied through everything we had to offer in 2 weeks. He wrote to her and said, I have got to become a Christian. She immediately got onto our internet network for follow-up, and the people in Addis Ababa visited this man. He became a brother in Christ. And so from the time he started searching, typing in those search words, to the time that he was an active member with the Lord's body there, as a member of the Lord's body, 3 weeks. That's the kind of tools that God has given to us today. And don't think that it's all elsewhere. This is a story of an American right there in Austin, Texas. He's a fireman, but he's also with the National Guard, David Rodriguez. He was shipped off as a National Guardsman to the country that you see there, Afghanistan. And with the violence in that country, he began to wonder about the purpose of life. So he went online to search for Bible study. He actually had been directed to another site, but there was the banner across the bottom about free Bible courses. That's what your contributions make possible, to be able to have that presence online. So he signed up for the free Bible courses. His teacher became Tim Thomas in, of all places, Decatur, Alabama. And they studied together. In the meantime, David finished his tour and returned to Austin, Texas. In due course, he asked to be baptized, and so Tim got in touch with the church, Roger McCowan of the Brentwood Congregation in Austin. And so they had meetings then for a couple of months together, bringing also the wife in. And I want to read you the statement from David Rodriguez. Before he was baptized, he had his grown-up children come to witness his baptism, and this is the little speech that he made that day to them. I love you all very much. I've tried to be a good father to you and a faithful husband to your mother. I've taught you to be hardworking and to live by a high moral and ethical standard, and you're doing that. I'm now 50 years of age, and I did not know what I did not know about God's Word. I have failed you in the most important thing a father can do, and that is to lead his children to genuine faith. I don't want you to get where I am in life and not know what I didn't know. What I'm doing today, I'm doing to honor God. I hope that you will consider your own lives and come to the same conclusion. And then he was baptized, in their view, as witnesses, baptized into Christ. And in fact, a number of his family, I believe, have themselves been baptized into Christ since then. That's an American. And he was reached through internet advertising such as you make available. And so our plea is for us to cover this nation with these kinds of opportunities. So anybody who types in search words can find you. And we would love, as you're in the budget setting process, this is not money coming to World Bible School in Austin at all. We would love for you to budget funding for web advertising and other forms of advertising that saturate your area with World Bible School and other opportunities for learning the gospel. Now, just returning to that Coke illustration that we used. No, you are not a manager of a region, and no, you're not going to have an interview with the boss at Coke asking if you really did put up the opportunities in your region for people to be aware, attractively aware of Coca-Cola. But you know what? You do have a region. This is it here at least. A sphere of influence that God has given you. And we will be having a meeting with our master who said this good news must go to every creature. And obviously for us that means every creature within our reach. Every creature that he puts within our reach. And he'll ask us, did you fulfill my commission? That's why we make it a priority. Because we honor him as our master and because we love the people for whom he died. You may be one of those who is not yet a disciple, who has not yet responded to the gospel. Many, many people in America are turning to God as the only answer for the great problems in their own lives and the great problems in this country, as exemplified by what happened after that shooting on the baseball field. You may very well be one of those. And you know that you cannot solve your own problems. You know that Jesus is the answer because he died to take away every sin ever committed, and he gives you a completely fresh start. He makes you into a new creature, much as Ernest was such a new creature, I wouldn't have known anything about his past if he hadn't told me. You can have that change in your life by the power of the gospel and by the power of the Holy Spirit living and working within you. We'd urge you to take that opportunity right now while we stand.